From WRKF 89.3 HD in Baton Rouge, this is Insight. I'm Amy Jeffries. The Louisiana Association of Business and Industry is considered to be one of the most influential lobbies at the state capitol. But this year, with a looming $1.6 billion budget shortfall, business interests are on shakier ground. Stephen Wagespack is the president of Lobby. Stephen, it's taken us a little while to get together because you've been up at the Capitol, but it's good to see you.
Thank you so much. Much better to be here than at the Capitol, actually. So,
well, tell me about that. You represent business interests in the state. How are those interests faring this session so far?
You know, going into session, in some ways, there was a lot of hope and optimism. A lot of our employers are doing well and seeing, you know, kind of hope on the way and all that. Certain sectors were not. You know, obviously, the oil and gas sector with the low prices, we're feeling the pinch, especially these independents in the state that we depend so much on, these, you know, the boat operators and the shippers and things like that. They've been really struggling, so it's been tough for them. And so going into the session, they were already concerned with that. And then with the session, you know, especially with some of the revenue raising bills out there, you know, we've tried our best to educate legislators on, look, if you're trying to find some of these revenue spots, here's some areas where you really need to make sure you don't go because you got hurting industries already. That's why we've talked a lot about things like inventory taxes and electricity taxes. Those are kind of the feedstock type of items for any business in the state. And so those are the ones we've been most active against this year.
It seems like for the first time, perhaps in a very long time, lawmakers have kind of painted a target on your back. How did that happen? How did you all end up in that position?
You know, it's a good question. And I guess, you know, when you see a budget deficit like we've seen, obviously it requires some serious solutions. Spending reform, pension reform, those types of things to help stabilize our budget, there's been no appetite for. It's all about revenue increases, and it's a short-sighted view in our mind.
One of the other big things that was kind of on the table as one of the solutions to what has been referred to as the structural deficit, this hole that appears over and over and over again, is the idea of addressing the inventory tax or the inventory tax credit.
Yeah, and you know, the inventory tax is a perfect example of confusing policy. And so let me try to simplify why we think it's harmful. You know, inventory is something that every business that sells has. And the state of Louisiana taxes that inventory the longer you have it. In 1991, we put a credit on inventory taxes. If you take that credit away, which is being proposed, you're going to drive those companies out of state. You're going to drive not just the big guys, but also these small retailers. And, you know, I'm not trying to say you're going to have the Soviet grocery store type of analogy, but you're going to have a limited scale back because these small to mid-sized businesses simply cannot afford to be wrong on an inventory selection. And so that's what we try to tell legislators. This isn't free money you just go grab. This isn't corporate welfare as the buzz that goes around. This is a direct shot at small to mid-sized business. And so that's why this is a very problematic way to go get revenue for government.
And corporate welfare is what Governor Bobby Jindal called it.
There's a lot of people using that term right now misappropriately. So,
but my understanding is that as far as the whole hog idea of either getting rid of the inventory tax credit or getting rid of the inventory tax, both of those ideas are kind of long shots at this point.
I would say the tax repeal is not prime for this year. That's probably more prime for next year in that fiscal reform session. As far as the credit goes, I think any way that the legislature can grab dollars over the next 3 weeks is alive. Anything that is declared dead is basically as dead as Lazarus, because anything can come back to life in the next couple of weeks, because they're going to find a way to grab revenue.
Fair enough. So what has happened thus far, though, and these are proposals that you mentioned, the 11 bills that the House passed to make revenue adjustments in the state's favor, and they add up to about $615 million. Dollars worth of revenue adjustments, much of that in the form of shaving tax credits, including the inventory tax credit. Do you call all of those tax increases?
Well, I think anytime you're raising taxes on people, it's a tax increase. I don't think this is a very complicated term. Now, you can make the argument why certain tax increases are worthwhile and should be done. But, you know, the games on what's a tax increase or not, it's kind of silly. If you're raising taxes, you're raising taxes.
Do you think that the governor will see those as tax increases as well and therefore veto them as he's promised to do?
Well, that's where you get into this whole question of revenue neutrality. And this is another term that has been talked a lot in the Capitol. And the question is, if you raise a tax and then cut a tax, do they even each other out? And that's been the expectation he's been looking for, is what he's going to sign or veto. I just tell you that because I can't predict what's going to be signed or vetoed. And I don't think anyone in that building really can. I know there's been a discussion for revenue neutrality. It's hard to raise a lot of money and be revenue neutral. And so it'll be a tricky line to walk for legislators over the next 2 weeks.
One thing that we did not hear from lobby on was Representative Mike Johnson's proposal that would have prohibited the state from penalizing businesses and individuals for acting in accordance with a belief about marriage. And this was a piece of legislation that some business interests did come and they did testify on. And specifically, the concern there was that it might create even a perceived climate of discrimination that might scare away some talent, that might scare away some customers from the state of Louisiana. So why wasn't that something that lobby came and spoke on?
Sure. You know, we have 2,400 members, and, you know, a lot of those companies have firm positions on certain tax issues, social issues, educational issues. And, you know, as a trade association, we have to kind of harness that collective viewpoint and figure out where best to represent the totality of the members. And when you get into these socially driven issues, typically we have not gotten engaged and allowed our members to speak more firmly for themselves so they can be, you know, passionate advocates for their own positions on that.
Stephen Wagesbeck is the president of Lobby. Stephen, thanks for being here.
Thanks for the invite.
I'm Amy Jeffries. This is WRKF.